At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards, he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence and said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. And they hid themselves because they realized that they were naked. After they had eaten from the tree, the forbidden fruit, if you will, to receive, as the serpent told them, to become like God and to know the difference between good and evil, they realized that they now were naked. And they hid themselves from God, who was once in an intimate relationship with them, fully bound to who they were as a human person. The nakedness is the realization that now they are separated from God. Now all they are is a human person. And before, they had no desires, no needs in the garden, for everything was fulfilled through God himself. But now they are left with three incredible desires to fulfill on their own. They had a desire to be self-fulfilled in the worldly things. They had a desire for contentment with themselves. And they had a desire for self-perseverance because they feared death. Three things that they no longer could see the gifts that God had given. Now they're left to fend on their own. What do these three things look like? They look like this. That self-fulfillment is that overwhelming recognition that no matter what we obtain in the early days of our lives or throughout our lives on earth, we'll never have enough. It's like eating that bowl of ice cream and then all of a sudden you realize you ate the whole gallon. You're looking for things that are going to give you the fulfillment, but you then look for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Contentment. That's that sense of peace. And when you try to seek peace on your own without God, because we know that's impossible, right? Because what's our definition of peace? Fullness of life in union with God. Then you're always going to be longing. You're always going to be restless. You know, the true definition of peace or contentment without God is this, that I want things the way I want them, and I want all you to agree with me. But that's never going to happen, is it? Because the deeper sense of peace comes when we're living in the presence of God. And finally, the fear of death. We do everything in our world to try to preserve our life, which we should because it's a sacred gift. But we do it in a way to try to push death further and further away from our reality because it's one thing we can't conquer on our own. These three new desires for Adam and Eve become the plague of the human condition of sin. So Jesus takes on flesh, human nature, to become like us, so then he can show us how to overcome, how we can become like him and overcome these worldly human desires. He helps us to overcome them because he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who can reunite us to the place where all these things were fulfilled by him. So the reason as Jesus goes into the desert to be tempted by Satan, he goes because all of the world had come to know at his baptism that he was the one, the chosen one, the Son of God. So as he goes to the desert to prepare for his ministry, Satan comes to tempt him in his human nature, just as he did Adam and Eve. What he tempts Jesus to do is to abuse his power as the Son of God to fulfill those three desires, to show that Jesus is no different than those who have sinned. So Satan tempts him to turn stones into bread, to abuse his power, to have that fulfillment of earthly things. The scholars tell us that the stones that would have been present in the desert were small, round stones that actually looked like loaves of bread. It would be an easy temptation in his hunger after 40 days. But Jesus says, no, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word of God. Jesus knows that even though those who would be fulfilled in their hunger of the world will remain unsatisfied until they're fed on the way of life, on Christ himself in the Holy Eucharist. We know this is true because we see it in the Scriptures, right? When Jesus feeds the 5,000, they come following him. And Jesus says, you don't come follow me now because you've eaten of the loaves, but you're looking for something more. And stay with me. I will give you what you want. I can satisfy and fulfill you completely. And then the devil wants Jesus to misuse his power to have that fulfillment of peace. Satan takes him on a mountain and shows him all the kingdoms. And he says, all you have to do is bow down to me, and I will give you all these kingdoms. See, if you do that, then everybody will be happy. Everybody will like you, and you'll get your way. What Jesus tells Satan is that these aren't my kingdoms. My kingdom is in heaven. Jesus knows the reality that there will never be peace on earth. He even tells us in the Scriptures, does he not? He says, I come to bring peace, not like the peace that you seek here, but a peace that allows me to be your truth, your inner voice. In union with me, a peace that is deeper than everybody living together in harmony, drinking Coca-Cola. And then Satan wants Jesus to misuse his power to avoid death. He takes Jesus up on the parapet of the temple, and he says to him, jump down from here, because it says in sacred scripture, the angels will come and sweep up and save those who trust in God. What Satan is saying to Jesus is, throw yourself down and you won't have to die. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't die on the cross. Because if you do that, then you conquer sin. Do it the easy way. Believe me, if you throw yourself down and God swoops you up, everybody's going to believe in you. You still gain what you want and avoid death. But Jesus says, one is not to tempt God. Jesus says, my job is to do his will and reestablish, recreate man in the image for which he was made. How beautiful it is to know that Jesus was willing to be tempted in his human nature so that we could understand our temptation for the things of the world, for peace, to take away our fear of death. As we begin the Lenten journey, we come to realize that Jesus is the one who allows us, in a very simple saying, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. When we seek fulfillment without him, we'll always be longing. But he says, I'm the way. If you follow what I teach, if you trust in my love, then you will find your way and fulfillment will come. In fact, eating of bread that I provide is only the beginning of what I will and desire to provide in the Holy Eucharist, because I will sustain you and you will be filled. Jesus tells us, I'm the truth. I'm the truth that you need to realize that you seek peace only when you're in union with that is real. Adam and Eve were at peace before sin. There was no need to know the difference between good and evil, was there? If you're always in the presence of good, there ain't no need to know what is evil. I will restore you to that with my truth. And then Jesus says, I'm the life. And my life comes through death. Death is not something to fear. It becomes the transition to the perfection that allows us to know of his kingdom. So what should be our mission this week, this first week of the Lenten journey? I think it should be mostly to know that through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we set ourselves up to understand the longing that we have for the things of the world in fasting. And once we're empty from those things, we, in our prayer, come to see Jesus speak to us, to reunite with us, so that our actions, our almsgiving, is a reaching out to proclaim the truth that what we desire on our own cannot be fulfilled, only in and through him as the way, the truth, and the life. So when you come forward to receive him in Holy Eucharist, remember that Jesus overcame the temptation to abuse the power to turn stones into bread. But he used that power to turn bread into his body and blood so that you and I may be satisfied and fulfilled. Ask him for the Spirit to help you in your fasting, to long for him in prayer, and to act upon it in the alms that you offer as the glory of God's kingdom, not here, but eternally in heaven. And I promise I will do the same.